I just want to encourage you to do a deep dive study and you know, read the Word of God in context. What does that mean? You know, the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. It was written as a letter. So it's really good to keep reading. Does that make sense? Because sometimes, how many people know, religion likes to cherry pick scriptures out of context for its agenda. Religion likes to cherry pick other people's words out of context for their agenda. So get in the habit of looking at context. Look at the people he was writing to. And I'll say this, when you read the whole chapter and read a couple verses before and after, just sometimes there's like some connecting thoughts in there. So my deep dive on the Holy Spirit, I challenge you to study the book of Acts, especially Acts 1 and 2, and it just keeps building. It's actually a very captivating story of the Spirit-filled life, which is full of the power of God that is meant to reach the lost so they can be discipled to know Jesus, right? And also, I'm reading a lot, actually, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and especially in chapters 13 is super important, 12, 13, and 14. Do you know why? Because it opens up in-depth teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about one of them today. I think a lot of denominations overemphasize one versus the other. Do you know it's so important to teach on all of them? And give the Holy Spirit space to demonstrate these things when he says it's the time and the place. Because, you know, when you do the wrong thing in the wrong time and the wrong place, we do damage. And it tells us how to do things in decency and in order, in love. And that's actually in 1 Corinthians, thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 14, after it talks about all these gifts at the very end, Paul says this. Verse 33 says, "For he who is the source of these gifts, of the prophesying, of the tongues, of signs, wonders, healings, miracles, all these things. He's the source." It says this, he is not a God of confusion and disorder. He's not a God of confusion and disorder, but a God of peace and order. So he has a way of doing things that don't disrupt the peace in the room. Do you know how the Holy Spirit guides us? With peace. So when something happens and it just feels ick and scratchy, are ready for this? I don't do this because I don't even like chalkboards in my house. I have one chalkboard in my house and I buried it behind furniture because every time I see a chalkboard, I hear this, ree! I don't know, like anybody old enough to have chalkboards in your classroom? I had a chalkboard in my classroom growing up. And you know, just that goofy kid that goes up there and what makes it all about them. Ree! And so it's to the point whenever I see chalk, I'm like, so I have chalk for my son, and I'm like, you do it, buddy. You have fun with that chalk. He says this after teaching on all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He says what? He's the source, and when he's the source, there's not confusion, there's not disorder. That's why we have to have clear scripture and read it in context. But he brings peace and order. And then it goes on to say in verse 40, it says, "But let all things should be done with regard to decency, and in an orderly fashion." That's the Amplified Bible. But if we don't teach on it, we will never know the right way. And so when you see the wrong way, we'll go, ew, if that's, I'm good. Anybody ever done something and said it was God, but you felt on the inside? Yeah, this is why I don't do chalkboards. Okay, because that alone was like enough to go, literally I see chalk dust and I'm like, my toes curl. I don't know why. Why? Because the self-centered jerk kid in class, the immature kid, come on, let's be real, first and second grade when you had that chalkboard, what'd they do when someone wasn't looking? Look at me. Gets all the attention in the room. But you know on the inside, there's no peace to it. So you know they did it. Because it's all about me, right? Come on. Immaturity. Come on, my kid. Zeke, do it. He wants all the attention. I love my kid. I adore him. And he is what? Learning. Right? Come on. It's how we know kids are kids. We know kids are kids because it's all about them. Why? Because they need it to be. They can't survive. They need parented. They need discipled. So if someone's making all things about them, they're just a brand new kid. You know, right? You got me. They're just a new Christian and they didn't read the whole thing and they didn't read it in context. And you got to what? Keep them close by your side. I keep Zeke close by my side when he wants to put on a show for his aunties and make things all about him. Because he does. He wants all the attention in the room. My son is a schmoozer. Oh my gosh. And he loves ladies. Ladies of all ages. He just loves, and he wants all their attention. It's so funny. He literally, Amber Lewis is so cute. He loves Amber, Aunt Amber. And her own child was sitting on her lap, Jace. And he goes up and pushes him aside and goes, sits on Amber's lap. That's my kid. Do I love my kid any less when he's like that? No, I love him all the more, but what, we use it as a teaching moment. And we are a teaching church. And by the way, the Lord and my father, who's now in heaven, I have Father God in heaven, but my earthly dad, Jack Cashman, he was a teacher. And man, he taught and he taught and he taught and he tried to demonstrate with clarity. And he did loving corrections sometimes, because if you avoid hard things, what happens when your kid avoids hard things? They don't grow in those muscles, right? And we are to have spiritual strong muscles through what? Practice, right? If you ever go to the gym with me, I'm going to do it wrong first. I am the girl of gym fails. You ever go online and look up gym fails? It's hilarious. I am that girl. Like, I remember the first time I was working out without any tutelage, mentoring, discipleship, or my husband at the gym. I'm embarrassing. Because I'll get on the machine backwards. Like, and I'm the girl that's like... It's embarrassing. So what do? I don't go to the gym alone really much anymore. I bring Rachel Schellenberger, got me ready for my wedding. She was awesome. Taught me how to do things the right way. My husband. Okay. Why the Lord is. So I'm going to do some scriptures. You guys down with me, and I'll eventually get to my message. We are talking about tongues today. Now everybody goes, now that's why she said it. I'm talking about, there are four different kinds of tongues in the Bible, and we're not going to skip hard things. But we're going to teach it in context, and we're going to teach it well through the heart of God, because they taught on all these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. And then he took a break. He said, just in case you want to make it all about you, oh, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. What? Come on, what is love? Come on, what is love? Come on, come on. I got to do this. It keeps people like, yeah, thank you, right? What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No. Okay, all you religious people, just clear the house. They can go to the religious church down the way, but you will now remember my sermon, because you're going to be driving home. What is love? Come. Okay. Love. Let's keep going. Love hurts. Because what, selfishness is not really love. Selfishness makes things about what us and what we want. And I'm going to sing all day. Like, we're just going to do a mashup. It's like Glee up here, okay? The Lord told me to put this aside. He said, hey, if you don't clarify this, walls are going to go up. And do you know you can't teach through a wall? Do you know why those walls are up? Because people have done it wrong. They've abused certain gifts. Come on, I have seen more abuses and more crazy town for one lifetime, and that's why I teach. I try to demonstrate the right way. I try to teach it, but I also got to create space. Because you know what is the most boring Christian life and church in the world? Is God in the box. And do you know why I put God in the box, in the Holy Spirit in my life? Because of all the crazy town I saw and all the selfishness. So interesting, let me go back here. If we get to our message, it might just be next week. We'll just keep going. I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about all these different gifts, right? Okay. And it talks about the public. Like, hey, when you're in a large group, nowadays we had a microphone. Back then they didn't, but, you know, the whole church is gathered. And then they kind of talk about personal times or in a small group of ministry, right? You know, you can teach someone one-on-one or in a small Bible study, and you can teach someone in a giant group. So it talks about, you know, when it's a small thing and when it's a private thing, just you, and when it's everybody. And then he goes, okay, I got a lot of baby Christians in this church. Baby sounds insulting. Let's just say new believers. And they haven't read everything yet. Guys, they just gave their life to Jesus. They didn't read it all yet. So give them some grace. My little Zeke bear, right? Come on. He wants all the attention in the room, right? And he said, hey, 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 it's all about love. God is love. And it's very interesting. A lot of religious people resist because of the culture we grew up in. Is it okay to say some people have different cultures? And it's good to learn about them. But I'm going to talk about the right time and the right place right from Scripture, so we don't do damage, so we don't go, I'm going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. No way. Mm-mm, not doing that one. I'm good. Only seen it weird. Love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering, right? Okay, ready? This was interesting. I was praying, and I read in the Amplified, and I heard this echo. Like, you know when a scripture gets really highlighted in your heart, you're like, love does not insist on your own way. Holy Spirit spoke to me. Love does not insist on your own way. And sometimes people from different cultures have a way of doing things because, you know, everybody's got a different way of doing things, right? You know, my family, listen, we're super informal. We like good food. Listen, we may be informal, but we like good food. But, you know, like, you know, some people have all the food plated on the table and it looks beautiful. I'm going, that is way too many dishes for me. So I'm like, hey, here's a plate and it's on the stove in the pot so I don't have to do as many dishes. Okay, it's okay. We have different ways of doing things. But what does love do? It doesn't insist on its own way because this is the way I like to do it. This is the way the culture I came from. Love will think of other people and do it the way God wants to do it. And God said he wants everything done in what? Come on, people follow me now. Decency and order and brings peace and not... Okay. And then he goes on after talking about love, goes back to 1 Corinthians 14. Why? It's great to read the Bible in context. That's why Paul took a pause. He saw a teaching moment for his kids. And by the way, the Corinthian church was a brand new believer church. It was the Las Vegas port city of the Greek world. So see, whatever, we'll get to my notes. Okay, this is cool. I think I'm going to do eventually a series on the books of Corinthians, because there's just so much controversy in there. You have to look who he was writing to. It was a church of brand new Christians. Okay, and they were essentially ships were coming in. And there was this piece of land, Corinth, the city was there. And do you know what happens when there's like a large piece of land, and the little in-between piece is just tiny? Okay, all the geography teachers, there's a name for that. Corinth was right in that little tiny piece. And so they couldn't get through. And if they went around, it went way, way out of their way. Come on, remember Columbus was always looking for like the shortcut? If you went around and actually was just really, really dangerous waters and rocks. It was really dangerous sailing. So it was just easier, ready for this, to dock your ship right here at Corinth, load up all your stuff, pay a lot of money to be made, to bring all your stuff to the other side of this short little piece of land and load it up to go travel through. So what does that mean? That's a very transient town. That's the port city. And that was also the Wild West, because not too long prior to the city of Corinth, it was decimated. It was totally destroyed. You're like, where are you going from this? You'll understand. The whole city was totally destroyed. And what happens when you get fresh land because you kicked everybody out of town at a cheap rate? There's money to be made. And Caesar, get this, he offered that piece of land to competing generals and political leaders. He said, hey, why don't you retire? This is a smart man. Why don't you retire and I'll give you land in Corinth because there's a lot of money to be made. Take as many slaves as you need. Take as many workers. And what he did, he pulled them out of politics. He got them to retire and they made a boatload of money and they built up Las Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Why? Because it's wild out there. Okay? So the city of Corinth was settled by, okay, let's be real. When you have a port city where it's lots of sailors, military people on leave. You know, by the way, the Temple of Aphrodite was built there. Temple of Aphrodite had 1,000 prostitutes. 1,000. And they were actually celebrated in their culture. It wasn't like a shameful thing back then. It was like, hey, that's just the way we worship our God. So you went there and you're like, hey, we've got a little money to spend because we're making a ton of money. Those generals built, businesses, tons of money. Come on, think about it. Like after a hurricane wipes something out and you can put up as many hotels and casinos as you want. And then even like the people that work for you, once you got your freedom as a slave or, you know, you're like, hey, you're my favorite person. They go, here's the little money in your pocket. So they build up all these other businesses. And all of a sudden, all these people had a ton of money and nothing to do. Oh, that's dangerous. That's what they do. They visited the temple. And back then, there was a prostitute, and you had fun, and she made money. Everyone made money. Everybody had fun. What? And it's just getting wild. It's getting nuts. Okay? And it was not what we call classy. And actually, there wasn't an aristocracy. Now, if you're like, look at your history, those are just kind of people that are like, hey, let's try to keep it a little bit more classy. Let's try to pass it on to the next generation. That city was known for infanticide. They wanted to have so much fun that they saw children as a burden that capped off their fun. So they got rid of their kids. It was that, guys, let's just say this. There's nothing wrong with having fun. But it was all about me. Oh. That is the culture of Corinth. That is the culture of the church in 1 Corinthians. Now you understand why Paul went, whoa, whoa, whoa. Holy Spirit doesn't make you nuts. Holy Spirit doesn't make you crazy. Holy Spirit doesn't make you all about me. We make it all about me. Come on, guys. I'm not saying I have seniors that are not going to go wild at senior week because they're just not about that. They're mature, right? But this was a very immature church. And Paul was writing Corinthians to say, hey, by the way, he established this church, so he was Big Papa. He was like, hey, I established this church, and I went away, and everybody's writing me letters of how crazy town you guys are getting. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you nuts. Our own character and the motives of our heart make us a certain way. Does that make sense? So you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater when an immature person does things the wrong way in the wrong timing out of decency order, and you heard, he goes back in, he goes, hey, I need to grow you guys up. I'm going to teach you how to do it the right way. In decency and in order where you'll sense a peace and a clarity, right? Because he loves his kids. If we love our kids, we're going to correct them. We're going to show them how to do things the right way so they eventually grow up. And that's why he paused in the middle and he said, hey, I'm going to teach on these gifts, but I know you guys, you kind of get a little wild. By the way, the word corinthicize in the dictionary means to corrupt. So if they literally were like, you know, you see your friends, and listen, modern day, they greet people really awkwardly. Hey, you, girl, what's up? They'd be like, hey, you Corinthian, you having fun on Saturday night? Yeah, woohoo, you Corinthian, let's go have fun. It was considered an insult. It meant she was loose and wild, and they didn't have social media to document it back then, and that was a good thing. That was where these words came from. That was the culture. Okay. All right, should we do the notes? Should we do it? All right. Love is not self-seeking. Love does not insist on its own way. And I think we as a church need to look back and study the word in context. Study it in context. And we'll get healthy and we'll move in the power of God. And why? We talked about this last week. The interest of Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the number one interest when you study the word, what is he always about? We find this out in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We find out the number one heart is he preached the kingdom of God and that all would come into the kingdom of God through Jesus, the door, right? So the lost would be found. Even those lost Christians like myself that saw things done the wrong way that says, if that's Holy Spirit, I'm good. And we put them in the box. The number one interest of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I talked about it last week, go back and listen, is about the lost. People that don't know Jesus, and sometimes Christians that have lost their way. And if we do things in love, the lost will want to be found and to be a part of the body of Christ. And they need to see a powerful gospel. They need to see a powerful gospel. Otherwise, we're just a boring social club, and other clubs do it better than us. Number two interest is found in the book of Acts, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit taught it. And number third interest is in the epistles. Those are all the things after the book of Acts that were written. You will see a pattern. Holy Spirit, Father God, Jesus are one person, and his words are documented in scripture. The third interest is that we would grow up in our maturity. So when you see someone making it all about them, are they mature? They're brand new, and they need someone like you to say, sit beside me. You might need to sit with some more people. Stop saving room for Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three seats. Maybe just one. Okay, they are one. They're one person. Okay. And you're going to have to teach them. Do Bible study with them. Have a grow group. Teach them how to do it right. Right? All right. Ephesians 5:18. I'm not even on my notes. It's good. Ephesians 5:18, Amplified. Ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. That comes from the Greek. Now, an English person, you know, like teach English or you're really good at grammar? Okay. So sometimes grammatically, we're like, what are you saying? Because it's one thing to translate something from the Greek, ancient Greek, to modern English, but then you got to get all the grammar right. And sometimes things, you just didn't get all the grammar in there. So actually, in the Greek, this actually means be being filled. Everybody say be being. Being filled. Keep on being filled constantly and continually with Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit-filled life. So what we sometimes teach out of our own traditions, really good hearts, but we don't always catch what the original grammar was with the Greek, is we said, Holy Spirit, fill me up. That's okay. We got water. We said, Holy Spirit, fill me up. And we got filled one time, right? But how many people know this? We often, through the stress and pressures of life, we start leaking. We go to work. That's why they pay us, because it's hard and people are jerks. I worked in customer service. Do you know why they pay you to be in customer service? It's because people are jerks and it's hard. And we start to just, through the pressures of life, start to leak, right? And so that's why we need to be constantly, continually filled with Holy Spirit. Otherwise, I get edgy. Brad knows. And I do a lot of apologizing. So the Spirit-filled life, the word baptized in the Holy Spirit comes from this word to mean, hold on, we'll go here. Baptized in the Greek means to immerse. Ooh. To the point of, ready for this, to the point of stained. I don't have enough water, so just roll with it. Because this is how we do life, guys. Because we, thank you. And water often comes in community. I'm going to teach through it. Most of us are so isolated and so busy that we don't have time to connect with other people that are meant to stir us up and get overflowing again. So I want to say this. Baptize in the original Greek means to, I'm going to say it again, to immerse to the point of stained. I have a friend in here that's, I won't say their name, but they make pickles. You know who you are. I don't make pickles because it's a lot of work. But I'm happy when other people give me pickles or I buy them cheap on, the other thing. So when you put a cucumber in the pickling solution, does it ever go back to being a cucumber? No, hi, that's science, right? It is permanently changed. Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. But people are jerks and life is hard. And we just kind of keep leaking. How many people know you minister and love on people and give wisdom? And after a while, you just kind of start feeling empty. And that is why it's so important. I'm going to go over some ways, and maybe I'll get to my sermon next week, whatever. I'm going to go over some ways on how you can be being constantly, continually filled with Holy Spirit. Because we were often taught in our theology and our culture one time, but he doesn't leave you. But why am I not overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control? And why are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, not overflowing from my life? I'm going to say in the modern day church, we have somehow taught. Now, by the way, do I have to go to church to be a Christian, to be born again? No. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if I believe in my heart and say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, I believe in my heart. He died on the cross. He rose again. And I say that out loud. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be born again. We get pickled. Can you go back? Can you go back to being a cucumber? He is not going to leave you. Jesus said, I will not leave you or forsake you. But what happens when you take that little pickle out of the jar, out of community, in isolation, and you leave it on your plate? Somebody eats it, right? You know, okay. It sits there long enough. We're going to start to kind of get dry out and get kind of wimpy and weak and wobble. Blah, blah, blah. I like a good fresh pickle. Give me a crisp one. I pay extra for them crispy pickles. It's just the way I like it. Come on, you know what I mean. This is probably all the far we're going to get, but it is good to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit said, listen, you need to teach on some more things in context so you don't have to fight the wall the entire day. And I can feel it. I've taught on some hard topics in here because I don't avoid them. And I'm telling you, I can feel the wall go up and the pushback. Sometimes it's just your resting face. It's okay. Listen, I have a family member that's got the stinky resting face. They're amazing. Okay. All right. So let me just give you some basics, because here's my deal. I want you guys to live a life filled and overflowing with Holy Spirit. So some of you guys are going to kind of pull you out of some isolation. Wow, you're resisting. You do not want to go to a grow group. Whoa, whoa. You really don't want to go to a Bible study. Okay. Deep sea fishing. Okay. Why do you need to go? Oh, so you can be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Oh, so your marriage will get healthier. Because you're not filled. And you're a jerk. And I've heard the way you talk to your husband. That's why he doesn't want to go to church with you. The Bible says he who has friends must show himself friendly. They want your love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, self-control. The fruits of the Spirit make the gifts of the Spirit palatable. They don't want your religion. I've had a lot of religion in my day. There's no love, there's no joy, there's no peace. They make it all about them, and they always insist on their own way. And if they don't, my bat, my ball, I'm going home. You also need, ready for this? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. This is Galatians 5. You also need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's the powerful life. That's where our lives change. And the people around us, when you're all soaked and filled and saturated, because I'm spending time, and that's probably as far as we're going to get today, with the Holy Spirit, I'll teach you how. When you get around people, who loves me? All right. Thank you, Miss Michelle. You get wet. Oh, there we go. And this is when you do a grow group. This is when you go grab lunch. This is when you came to work day, and it was the first day of planting. And let me tell you, I was planting my own plants till 9 o'clock last night after work day, because I need to build the Lord's house first. Haggai. It's okay. But we really, what was it about getting to know people? I got to know some awesome people. You know who you are. It was great. Right? Community keeps you from getting weird. Community will keep you in love, because you know when you're not in love, nobody wants to sit beside you, because all they got is your religion. Don't taste good. It's sour. It goes, on the chalkboard. All right. So you guys want to live a spirit-filled life? Let me say, you got to get your wall down. Everybody's like, okay, I'm cool with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Fruits taste sweet. I'm good with a fruit bowl. But then you want to put broccoli? Ugh. But broccoli will get you healthy. I had a lot of broccoli with the dip. I like the, give me some dip, right? Give me a little dip on it, okay? The fruits of the Holy Spirit make the power gifts of the Holy Spirit palatable, tastes good. I want some more. What is the Spirit-filled life? I want all of you I can get. The Bible says to earnestly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to not quench them. If I want my family to change, if I want my marriage to get healthy, if I want my kids to come back to Jesus, if I want my neighbors to ignore the sign in your yard and still want to talk to you, I better be overflowing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because there better be something different about you. Because everyone else is peddling their religion for their own agenda. I'm going to talk about all the gifts. I want all of God that I can get. I'm not going to force it. When you gave your life to Jesus, you got a portion of Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ Jesus came on the inside of you. You have Holy Spirit in you. But there's more. But wait, there's more. There's more. And Jesus told his disciples, but wait, there's more. Do not leave Jerusalem until you have received this overflowing filling of the Holy Spirit, because it is, preached it last week, the power to reach the lost. I have lost family members. I have lost neighbors. I have lost friends, Christians that have lost away and none. There's more. Do you want more? Because it's not all about you. Then we're going to also have to get out of our control freak, scared of what are they going to think? That sounds a little weird. It's only weird if you make it weird. Weird people make it weird. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. My goal at the end of this message is for everyone to choose every day to stir themselves up in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go into scripture on how, and to literally say all week, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Today was a hard day. Holy Spirit, my neighbor is hurting. I hear him screaming from the other house, or that was me yesterday. I don't know, but I need you. I need peace. I need love. I need the power. I just need to start a conversation and pray for them. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I need to be filled with Holy Spirit and his word. So when I start talking and praying, it gives them something to work with, and something shoots out of you. It's called the power of God, and it wasn't you. You're just a conduit. But you got reconnected. If you only connect on Sunday, it's good to go to a grow group or a Bible study, get another connection throughout the week. It's good to call your friend, right? On our hard days, Stacey and I call each other. I had a hard day. Okay, let's go pray. Number one way, I'll say this, to get in this Spirit-filled life. Because what happened when you said, Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. This more experience, there is more. Talk to anyone in any church. They like to split hairs. I'm not even bothering. Do you know why? Because I'm just going to fight the walls. I'll just say this. There is more. There is more of the Lord to experience. There is a Spirit-filled life that is overflowing. And there are experiences with him that will change you forever. And there is a power that is inside of you that God goes, now let it out. Stop compartmentalizing church, family, friends, work. Stop trying to be different everywhere else. Will you just say, I want all of you I can get to overflow in every area of your life, where your baked beans mixed with your fruit salad and you brought your coworkers and your church friends and your old friends from high school. Whoa. And they all came to the barbecue and you sat at the table and you shared your testimony of what Jesus did in your life. Is it going to get a little messy? Yeah. You going to have to let him out of the box, out of church, out of your life? Yeah. If you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you once, did you get filled? Absolutely. Whether you felt it or not. The power of God, this is seltzer water. The power of God came inside you. Whether you felt it or not, did you need goosebumps? Did you need to like fall to the floor? No. I received salvation by faith, not by a feeling. Some people are like, I don't know if I'm saved. I was like, did you ask Jesus to come into your life? Did you feel something? When you ask Holy Spirit to fill you, because there is more, and you get around, I said this last week, godly Christian fellowship, and you get, I'm going to go into this. Here we go. Here we're going to start teaching. All right, Ephesians 5:18 says, ever be being constantly and continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Is the power of God inside you when you said, Holy Spirit, fill me up? Is the lid on? Do you know when I get in a place of worship, I can sense some whirling and swirling in my heart. Do you have to feel it? Nope, it's by faith. But I have a sense that God is bigger than me when I worship. How about that? Tingles, not tingles. Did you hear the choirs in heaven? I've had experiences. But it doesn't mean I'm going to have that every Sunday. But am I going to give God space to experience him? Absolutely. I'm going to ask? Yes. So it says this, after it says, be being constantly and continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, verse 19 and 21 says this, singing songs, psalms, and hymns. Does it say if you like the organ? Doesn't matter. You might like organ, and that just stirs your heart. Praise God. I think organs are beautiful. Maybe you like a guitar, acoustic, but not that electric, or no drums. Come on, all of our churches have our preferences. But no matter what, it's about the words. It's about the words that align with Scripture that glorify God. It says this, a really good way to what? Verse 19, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music in your hearts. Give thanks for everything to God the Father. A lot of us are leaking because we forgot. We're just waiting for Sunday to sing to him and give him thanks. And I'll tell you what, you know what gives you a great opportunity to connect with the Lord? You're driving, or if you're driving with me on the road, it's scary. That's my husband. Thank you, Lord, I didn't get in a car accident with a pastor. Praise God. Okay, no. Come on, throughout the day when things don't go well, but God comes in like a flood and saves you when you didn't lose an account where you should have lost it because you messed up and didn't email them back on time and they didn't drop you. You didn't get called into your, you know, supervisor's office on the way out of that office. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank Lord, I praise you for your mercy and grace that is overflowing every day. Come on. Finding ways to be thankful, but it's also to sing. You guys are like, I have a terrible voice. Turn the music up. That's why we have loud music at this church. Or some people just don't sit in your section. I'm just saying. It's fine. We're going to turn the music up a little bit. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. I sing my own words. And get this. I sing in tongues. I just don't make it all about me. And go grab the microphone and go. I interpret my own tongues because I'll sing in tongues and I'll sing in English. Some people are like, I didn't even know you do that every Sunday. I often do it at, I'm getting ready at my house. Sometimes I'll just pray in tongues and I'll pray in English. I'm not making it all about me. I'm building myself up. I'm stirring myself up. People are like, what are you? Oh, I didn't even know. Am I weird? I like Star Trek. There was a conference in Vegas. Brad and I, if I could get my baby independent, we were going to go to the Star Trek conference in Vegas. Are you weird? No. I just like sci-fi. It's fine. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to everything to God the Father for everything, okay? Maintaining this life of thankfulness and gratitude, singing. You can sing in the spirit if you have, you know, if you pray in tongues or sing in tongues, that's great. But you know what? You're not going to be so loud that you're solo artisting in there when Reagan is doing things in decency and in order up here, right, Reagan? We're not competing. We're all on the same team, but not everybody on your team gets a microphone. Not everybody on your team is a quarterback. Okay? Stay in your lane or you're going to hurt people. What happens in track when you get out of your lane? Take down the whole team. I'm going to teach through this. Jude 20, 21. Jude is one chapter, so Jude verses 20 through 21. But you, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and continually, progressively build yourself up. It's kind of going back to that grammar. We lose things in the grammar. Be being constantly and continue filled with the Holy Spirit. Be constantly and continually filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? And how do we do this? We praise him. We thank him. It kind of starts stirring on the inside of us, okay? And then it says here, on the foundation of your most holy faith, by praying every moment, oh, I like the amplified, every moment in the Spirit, fasten your hearts to the love of God. I'm going to be thankful throughout the day. I'm going to be thankful, if anything, going, God, this was a terrible day, but you're my Savior. And when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with you. Find something to be thankful for. Share that thanksgiving with other people around you. It will stir you. Pray and sing in spiritual songs. Make up your own words. Sing the words of the Lord in your heavenly language, whatever it may be. What? Okay. Be thankful. And then it says this, okay? Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk and live habitually. That means make it a habit in the Holy Spirit. Amplify Bible says, responsive to and guided by the Spirit. There is a fire inside your heart. You got carbonated when you said, Holy Spirit, there's more of you. I hear there's more. In the Bible, it says there's more. There are gifts. There's an overflow in your presence. I want to be filled with you. And I'm praying and I'm giving thanks. I'm meditating what it said on the love of God. He loves me. I love him because he loved me first. And I'm thinking about these things. I'm speaking about these things. I'm telling other people about these things. And I'm getting stirred. 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6. I want every person in this house to go daily. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want to overflow. If anything, for me, because I'm a mess right now. But I know my coworker needs me not to be edgy and angsty. My coworker needs me overflowing in love. And, ready for this, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what prophesy means? 1 Corinthians 14:3. To build up. Raise your hand if your coworkers need built up. To encourage, to strengthen, to comfort. Your neighbors need encourage, comfort, build up, and strengthened. Do you know what tongues plus interpretation are? It's prophecy. And the Bible says it is better that you prophesy because then they know what you're talking about. So if you pray in a tongue, then go, what is the interpretation, Lord? I don't know. Just start talking in English. He will guide you. He just takes the wheel. And they'll get built up, encouraged, comfort, and strengthened. If you go shouting tongues in their face, are they going to get built up, encouraged, comfort, and strength? No, you need to get the interpretation from the Lord. Now you kind of know where some cultures, sometimes we just, what? Love doesn't insist on its own way. Okay? 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6. Do not neglect the gift. I would remind you to stir up. Everybody just kind of go like this. Just, you know, like it's like I'm hungry. I'm always hungry. Ask Brad. Brad is so great. He can skip meals and be perfectly like happy and kind. I get skip meals. I'm hungry. I'm getting angsty. I need to eat. Yesterday, I was like getting low blood sugar and hormonal. And I was like, I just need to eat something. I just throwing food in my mouth. You sometimes, when we're feeling angsty and getting empty and getting edgy, I need to get filled. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I need to praise you and thank you. I need to meditate on your love. I need to pray in the Holy Spirit in my heavenly language. I need to get around close godly fellowship and get them to encourage me. And ready for this? It said this, 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 2:1-6. How to not make it weird. Phillips translation. Do not neglect the gift. I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flame, keep on burning. The gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of the laying on of hands. If you're beside someone, I want you to practice not making it weird. Did I say go put your hand on their head and yell and shout in tongues and shake it and push them back and do the limbo? No. We're going to practice praying for someone and not making it weird and be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you can't reach someone, just pretend like someone, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, sit beside you. Put your hand on their shoulder. Put your hand on my shoulder. I grew up on the oldies music. It was called classic. Put your hand on my shoulder. Don't make it weird. Do you know why? Because if you're in your workroom, because the Holy Spirit is what for the lost. We make it weird in church because we taught a culture of weird because we're bored. And the Holy Spirit is to reach the lost. So you're going to have to learn how to flow with him and not make it weird. We are the vessel. We make it weird. Put your hand on my shoulder. And if the Lord says put your hand on their head, sometimes he says that, but don't make it weirder than it has to be, right? Okay? And it says that you can get stirred up by laying hands on someone and praying for them. And then you go, Holy Spirit, how do you see them? We often beat ourselves up and feel not good enough all the time. How many people go through a week and then you get, Satan just whispers to you, you're not good enough. You messed up. You ruined it. You tanked that friendship. You're never going to get a better job. You tanked that interview. I need someone to put your hand on my shoulder and go pray for me. Prophesy says to build up, to encourage, to comfort and strengthen. I need someone to build me up, to encourage me, to comfort me and strengthen me. The Holy Spirit is in you for your sake. But he overflows from me for everyone else's. I got pickled. I ain't going back to a cucumber. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. You asked him to fill you, he filled you. But the choice to stir yourself up into overflow is not just for your sake, although I feel a lot better. It's for everyone else around you. We will have to keep God out of the box. And you're going to have to jerk yourself out of apathy and complacency because it's all about us. You know what my son would love to do? Sit in front of the TV all day long and eat snacks. We love Sesame Street. I would love to sit at home and eat nachos with extra cheese. Cheese makes everything better. They say it kicks like endorphins in your brain. It's like a chemical drug in your brain. That's what cheese does. Okay? And just watch Netflix and Star Trek. I love it. Okay? The Holy Spirit is upon me for my sake. He's in you. But you're going to have to choose to be in a state of thankfulness, to meditate on his love. Put your hand on my shoulder. Have someone pray for you to stir you up because my kid is immature. He's a young Zeke. And he will, through great guidance and parenting, grow up to get out of isolation, sitting in front of the TV, eating snacks all day, and say, guess what? You need to get a job, Zeke. We love you. Get out of my basement. You're 30. I'm just kidding. All right. Yep. And you know how you get hungry for more? Everybody hungry? You know, I'm always hungry. It might be Burger King day today. There's leftovers in my fridge. I'm hungry for more. Get around people that are good cooks. Some people just, what? Come on. Come on. You know the good cooks. I get around their house and, oh, I smell good food. All right. It's not those like sawdust dino nuggies. That's a good food, right? I get around people that are flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I want some more. My goal, and why the Holy Spirit said this, got to get those walls down, is to get you hungry for more. And I'm going to show you all these different wild gifts. And here's my goal, is that you get stirred up throughout the week and every day, praying for people in a place of thanksgiving and prayer, meditating on the love of God. And then you do something you don't feel like doing because it's not a feeling. Do you need to feel goosebumps to talk to someone about Jesus? Do I need a feeling to go to a grow group or a Bible study midweek? I know it's going to be good for me. And I need to get a point of overflowing so it's not all about. We can choose to keep the lid on. God gave you free will. All these gifts of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, you'll just sense something kind of like, I'm filled. But you can choose to stay at home and watch Netflix and eat nachos, and I would love to do it every day. But But the Bible commands us to, Jesus said, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He commands you. It's not an option. And he also, commanded us in the Great Commission to go out into all the world outside of your living room, outside of the four walls of church. 1, 2, 3, 4. Looks like a box to me. And it's where it gets weird. If the only place you're interacting with the gifts of the Holy Spirit is church, that's why it got weird. All right, stand up. We're going to pray. The Bible says, do not keep the lid on. The Bible says, don't keep the lid on. Ready for this? Acts 7:51, Paul says, why must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? We resist the Holy Spirit because we are self-centered. Because I want to eat nachos in front of Netflix all day. And people are messy and they hurt you. We resist the Holy Spirit because we are self-righteous. Because we're religious. Because I have everything that I need. And I don't need people in my life because all they do is hurt me. Well, what about the whole Great Commission thing? It's part of it, so forgiveness is a part. We resist him because we are self-righteous. We are self-willed. We are self-sufficient. And this is called life inside the box. We quench the Holy Spirit. It means to extinguish or put out. The Bible says this, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-21. Always rejoice, whether you feel like it or not. It was written while Paul was in prison and beaten. Did he feel like rejoicing? No. We make a choice every day. We give opportunity here on Sunday, but you know, you have opportunity on your drive to work and while you're doing the dishes and doing the long. I choose to rejoice and be thankful. It says this, pray without ceasing, constantly be talking to him. In everything, give thanks, everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And ready? Now it goes, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. That means we are to create time and space in our lives, at our home, and in the workplace and at church for the Holy Spirit to flow out of us. Put your hand on someone's shoulder. And when you resist talking to new people, when your heart guides you in compassion to someone, you're like, I don't want to make it weird. I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be, don't want to be weird. What we do is we take, hold on, Michelle, stay right here. This is good. No, this is good. We put a wet blanket. I thought about making it wet, but I love her so much, okay? Okay, you can go. Thank you. We make a choice. You can choose to keep the lid on. You are carbonated with the power of God. You need to stir yourself up in fellowship, in the word, and worship. And ready for this. There are some people like, I ain't talking in tongues ever. I'm good. Good with all the other stuff. Except, you know, maybe some of the, okay, so I'm good with the one thing, but not all the other gifts. Can you just get over yourself? And I think it's this, desire it. If I led with that one, everyone would be like, I'm good. I've only seen the weird. Nails on top. Okay, guess what? It's not about us. The Holy Spirit is inside you. You are carbonated with the power of God. Get in fellowship. Get around people. Start talking to other people. Start praying with other people. Give opportunity. You can't force the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Give opportunity. You want to see more power flow out of your life? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the ding, 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 ding dinner bell for the lost. Ephesians 4:29-32. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only a word that is good for edification. Edification means to build other people up. According to the need at the moment, so that it will give grace, divine empowerment, to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know how you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? This is something I have to call repentance. Humble myself every day because I fall into this. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, gossip be put away from you. We're just going to pray right now, and I just challenge you. Maybe the Lord's convicting you of your mouth, and you've grieved the Holy Spirit because we're talking bad about people. We're complaining. We're cutting people down. That is one way to get unstirred. It grieves his heart. He doesn't leave you though. Do you know he doesn't leave you just because you were a jerk to someone? You just leaked a lot. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't say, I ain't never gonna go pray for that guy because they're gonna just talk bad about me all over to the boss and I might get fired. You know, just don't say never, say never. Don't say, I'm not ever gonna move in that particular gift. No way am I ever praying and talk. Nope, I'm good with all the other ones. Don't put the wet blanket on him. Give him space and opportunity. And don't resist. Don't hold God at arm's length, making it all about just, I'm self-sufficient. I don't need people. I'm self-reliant. My world is all about my interests, but God is interested in the loss that they would be found. God is interested in us being filled with the Holy Spirit and ever be being filled. And God is interested that we would grow up spiritually so we can complete the cycle to reach other lost people, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they can grow up in the maturity. And that is called the Great Commission, the parting words of Jesus Christ. Father God, in Jesus' name, we love you. My challenge to you, I'm not gonna make you do it, is to raise your hands. You don't have to, you can put them on your heart. But Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Overflow out of my life. Help me to be obedient to you, to stir myself up through godly Christian fellowship, through a lifestyle of worship and thanksgiving, by meditating on your love, being full of the word, and giving you opportunity, popping the lid off, and praying for people, and letting you pray through me in whatever way you want. To you be all the glory, because it's all about you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.